Welcome back to Campbell Conversations with your host, Colin Campbell, and today is episode 202 of the podcast, and this is a return to the podcast for Deck and Dawn from Crypto Glasgow, and this time round, we are in Dubai to record this episode. Thankfully, the audio that you're going to hear after the music plays is far higher quality than this one. I had a bit of a malfunction with my microphone on the way back from Dubai, but this was recorded in an incredible studio out in Dubai in Podster Studio, and the quality is top tier. This is the fifth time the boys have been on the podcast, and for good reason, they are smash hit guests. And this time around, you're going to expect to understand what happened in the cryptocurrency market since we were last recorded in January 2023, including the retracement of Bitcoin from the low of $16,000, the SEC legal cases around Binance and Ripple XRP, and what these news stories, what they signal and mean, and what they and who might be pushing these narratives at set times and why. You'll also hear answers to some of the most important topics when it comes to your 2024 crypto investing, including if the bull market has truly started, what target setting and profit taking should actually involve and look like, and the most exciting projects that Crypto Glasgow are bullish about, and so much more. Lastly, we do cover why the allure of Dubai is growing stronger and stronger, and what is happening out there that is attracting so many people right now. If you're new here or you're new to crypto, then please do go back and check out the previous episodes that I've had the boys on for. Those are numbers 40, 64, 110 and 166. If you're a little bit confused by what's been discussed in that, that will help an awful lot. Today's podcast is sponsored and supported not by one of my usual sponsors, but actually by my own course, which is my podcast masterclass. Starting and sustaining a podcast is borderline impossible. 4 million podcasts started in 2023, and 80% of those failed by episode 8, with a further 10% dropping off by episode 21. On the other side of that, though, is success and riches. A well-presented podcast is the ultimate personal branding tool and networking tool for you and your business. And I've shared my over 3 years of lessons now of growing a top 1% show into a 9-module, 54-video course that you can start and use to sustain and scale your podcast. This includes the traditional nuts and bolts and the software, the equipment, the hardware, and the editing that needs done. But more importantly, it includes the frameworks, the processes, and the tools that you can use to secure and approach the biggest guests in your field. How to prepare and research for those guests, and how to expertly host an episode and ask questions which really cut to the point and help your listeners get the most possible value. And I will even share how to market and distribute it to the most eyes and ears possible. The link to enroll will be in the show notes, and that is www.mypodcastmasterclass.thinkific.com. The podcast is in such a good place right now after a big surge in downloads after the recent episodes with Richard Dixon and Scott McClure. And this episode is the first of four huge podcasts I recorded when I was out in Dubai, and I really believe that we're in a really special place. If you've not already, please make sure you've hit the subscribe button and take the time to share this episode to your Instagram story, or drop the link into a group chat, or even just send it direct to a friend who would benefit from the episode. Without the support of listeners like you, this show wouldn't be in the place it's been. It wouldn't be in the top 1% globally, and we wouldn't be having these amazing, informative, positive and entertaining conversations and having a really positive impact. The music's about to play, and you've got just over an hour and 20 minutes with myself, Deck and Dawn out in Dubai in the Podster studio talking all things crypto. Let's go. Gents, we're back. We've made it happen while we're all here in Dubai at the same time. And the market's getting exciting.
It is. We're back for round five.
Round five?
When you told me it was round five, I was shocked. I thought it was
three.
We've only done three, but yeah, it's been four.
Yeah, it's been such a long time. The pod's been going since April 2020, and you guys were CG in July 2020.
May.
So
officially,
it's been such a long time, and yep. It's been cool to grow alongside each other, doing different things at different points, and you guys are in an amazing place. And I think as we go into this slightly more exciting part of the market, it's overdue for us to chat again.
For sure. It feels like when the market goes up, we're on the Campbell Conversations podcast. It's looking for them views. That's what it is.
All down though, because we were at basically the bottom of the bear market the last time we were on the podcast.
Good point.
Which is good.
That's what I feel was so important, that we covered a time in the market where interest was low.
And I showed you the Spotify Wrapped stats that Crypto Glasgow were the top performing episode of 2023, which is amazing when you consider some of the global guests that we've had on. You guys have got that really core, hardcore audience that love to hear from you and understand what on earth's going on. And when we recorded in January 23, Bitcoin was 16.8 or something like that. Yeah. And you guys, as has been proven when you get to listen back to an hour and a half, an hour long conversation, we're seeing a lot of things that have come to fruition. And there's a little bit of an I told you so moment when you were saying, this is the time to be excited about getting returns in this market. But nobody, like not nobody, but a smaller percentage of people wanted to talk about it at that point in time.
It's always the same. No one cares when it's boring, and we get it. And that's what we were saying back then. I'm pretty sure we said it on the podcast. Like, look, we get it. It's boring, it's hard. No one cares as much as they should. And we know that, but it's the time to be buying, literally. And the point has been proven because we're now at, what, 44K? Less than 12 months down the line. So
in terms of performance of an asset class, that is wild.
Yeah.
Even my friends that don't get crypto, when I tell them how much as a percentage Bitcoin's increased this year, everyone has to take notice. Better than gold, better than any stock or share that you're picking, better than property.
It's the best performing asset. Majority of years, it's the best performing asset. It was also the best performing asset of the decade. Last, the 2010 to 2020, best performing asset of the decade. So it constantly just breaks records, breaks statistics. And it's not by chance. It is by math. It is by code. It's a limited supply asset versus an infinite supply asset. So that's not just by chance. It's not by some fugazi. There is hard math behind the reasons why Bitcoin is the best performing asset of all time, technically.
Yeah, it's something that more and more people are becoming aware of. And I think the C19 period with money printing, which was going on beforehand, and quantitative easing, that was a policy, but more people became aware of it because when you have a furlough scheme that pays people to literally sit at home and they create money out of thin air to pay these people because they're not producing any goods or services off the back of it, people are like, how is this happening? So I think when you have something that is finite, as you've said, that 21 million in circulation for forever, that is, it's a lot more attractive for people that truly understand what money is.
Exactly, because it's, as you said there, when they're printing money out of thin air, it's monopoly money. That's monopoly money. They're just adding more monopoly money that doesn't really mean anything into the game. And people who don't know about Bitcoin or understand Bitcoin, they think that Bitcoin is like a fugazi monopoly money. But the money that they use is the real monopoly money. It's not backed by anything. It's infinitely printed out of nothing, out of thin air. It's not backed by anything. Bitcoin is backed by math. It's a publicly distributed ledger that no one can control. But the monopoly money that we use, the pounds, the dollars, they're controlled by one fat cat at the top that decides, right, we're going to print another $5 trillion this week. They just decide at any time, we're going to print this then. Bitcoin's not like that. There is a scheduled release of Bitcoin that can be mined, which is, we'll probably dive into this in the podcast, but there's the Bitcoin halving, which halves the rate of supply that is issued. But in our system, the pound, the dollar, they just decide, today, let's print $5 trillion and let's devalue everybody else's money in the world that uses this currency. One person's decision, that cannot happen in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that attracted me to the asset class so much. And if we were to rewind to previous podcasts we've done, in October 2020, when we did our first episode together, it was episode 40, I didn't have any investment in crypto at that point in time. So I remember saying in advance, you guys, I want to really probe and understand a bit more about these particular assets, like how does it all work? And you guys were like, look, we're an open book. We've been in it for, I think, 2-3 years at that point to really get an understanding of it. And I was just asking what I thought were the hard questions. And a lot of people who have gone on to listen to that episode were like, it was really helpful to have somebody who didn't have an understanding asking the daft question. It's why Rogan's podcast is so popular. He's happy to look the fool. And I was completely open with being like, I don't understand it. Whereas now I have a better understanding of it, nowhere near the level of you guys, of course, but I'm clued in enough to have a slightly higher level conversation. But we've done the entry level one in the past that lets people understand the asset. And when they tune into this one now, they can be a bit more well-versed on just why on earth is it going from 16 to 44 in one calendar year?
Can I ask as well, you for the listeners who know that your mind is like a just a encyclopedia of data. What was the prices in the first episode?
We were down as low
I'm testing you here.
During 2020, we were down as low as 3.8, something like that, were we not? And then it went to 6, something like that.
So on the pod, it was around 6?
You know, 3.8 was like March.
And that was the bottom.
That was the start of the lockdowns. We recorded later in the year. We were around like 10 to 16 or something like that. Yeah. And I remember the second time we recorded, we were about to hit 64.
Is that what it was? People were losing
their minds because... Wow. Look at the return on that. Yeah. It's absolutely mad. But yeah, you are right. There's some standout figures within the period. And again, if you'd got in at that price, or even if, as you guys often explain, if you'd dollar cost averaged across that period or pound cost averaged, if you're really pernickety, you're able to create a smoothing effect across the board.
Yeah.
And ride out the wave of buying in at 10, buying in at 16, buying in at 20, buying in at 25. You might have been buying in at 69 when it's hit that before, but you get a effect across the market where you're not made to look a fool.
Yeah, there's a statistic. I don't know the exact number, so you'll be able to correct me, but there's roughly, it's like between 90 and 95% of all Bitcoin holders are in profit. That's a crazy stat. And also as well, if you dollar cost averaged over the past 2 years, over the past 1 year, 4 year, 5 years, it doesn't matter. If you dollar cost averaged is your method of investing, you're in profit. The only way that you're not in profit in Bitcoin is if you bought really high and then never bought again, which is a massive mistake that a lot of people make. They maybe buy into Bitcoin any price, and then as soon as it drops 10%, 15%, they sell in a loss and then they lose.
We've spoken about this before. If you get shaken out by the volatility of this asset class, that is when you become a loser. And there's a reason there's a phrase like hodl, hold on for dear life. And you guys introduced me to that because you really do have to grip on sometimes, because the sentiment and the overall conversation since it hit 69 in what, November 2021, the sentiment's been Bitcoin's on the way down.
It's almost like the hodl thing, there's two ways of applying it. It's like hodl because you kind of need to, because you've bought so high and you've kind of ruined it a little bit, and you're like, oh no, I'm going to hodl for as long as I can. That's because you bought too high and you're just applying that logic. But it does sort of work no matter what way you kind of look at it, because as Dick was saying, as long as you've been buying the whole way and you didn't just buy high and literally just hold it, then it's a win in my case anyway. So
yeah, that's why it's more accumulate. We say accumulate rather than buy. You don't just go buy Bitcoin one time and that's you. It's like you need to accumulate it over time, the way you accumulate wealth. You don't just get wealth in one hit.
Yeah, that's huge. And one of the things that I didn't even think to mention to you before recording is that since we recorded in January, we had the XRP SEC court win. Yeah, that was July time, because I was going on holiday the day after. And I woke up and I think it was 83 cent. And I was like, oh my God, this is the first time I've been like big profit from XRP, because I was buying throughout the period. And Deck jumped on his Instagram story and I knew this would have wound some people up. You said, if you're not in profit from XRP just now, it's because you didn't believe in the project enough to keep buying when it was in the doldrums and people were negatively talking about it. If you believed in XRP, you would have accumulated plenty when it was down low, 30 cents, maybe even lower at points. And so when it went to 83, you would have been in profit because you would have created a lower buying average by believing in it when it was down.
That's right. I remember that. I says, everybody should be in profit on XRP. There's almost no excuse not to be in profit in XRP when it's up at 90 cents and it's been 30 cents for 2 years. You should not be in a loss on that asset. That means that you bought it high and then you've just never bought again.
You've been spooked. At least you didn't sell it. That's the only like positive. But
yep.
But the next worst thing would have been not trying to get your average down by chiming in a little.
The problem you then seen was people were then buying it when that happened. Right. So it's
two,
like
2 years to buy it 30, then decide to buy it 90.
It's mad. But again, that is just how crypto works. If you don't really know, well, not even don't really know, if you don't know what you're doing, which, look, there's a lot more people out there that won't want to admit that. It shows, because people are like, should I be buying XRP? It's like, you should be selling it.
For 2 years?
Like,
I saw a lot of that happening where people were selling out when it was in the 80s, and then when it had its inevitable dip back down after the hype, they were buying back in at 50-odd cents.
Okay, it had done like 110% in a day. Like, that is... I mean, technically speaking,
fast XRP moves,
it does do that, and it's possible, and it could be sustainable. But at that point, it was definitely not sustainable.
It was to do with the news, and
well, news slash chart behavior slash just a bit of momentum. Everything that, the thing with XRP is it had just got to the end of its tether almost, and was like, right, something needs to happen here. And then just by
timed news?
Time news, essentially. Because it wasn't even a win, remember? It wasn't a proper, like, case closed, like, class dismissed. It was just this part of it isn't as bad as what we thought it was, almost. And so we're, it's not even...
XRP was... The judge ruled that XRP is not a security, and that's, like, the whole point of the case, that the SEC, a governing body in America, was saying that XRP was a security. And the judge ruled it is not a security, but it's still dragging on now. This has been dragging on 3 years.
Because it was part of a case. So, like, there was 3 or 4 different parts of the case. That part was essentially, like, cool, box ticked. They then dropped the kind of allegations against the directors, the owners, and whatever. And then they've still got the one big part, which was nothing to do with the retail. So that's why it was so beneficial for us, because we are retail investors. And that part was almost, yep, cool, it's not a security, move on. They dropped the charges against the bosses, essentially, but then there's still this one final boss, essentially, to close off.
I know, it's interesting, and I was saying to Deck off camera that I have a number of friends that got really excited about XRP just because they understand the use case of it, which a lot of people don't understand about particular coins they invest in, which is the 95% of the asset. But I was saying to Deck, I'm always saying to these people, it's worth you having exposure to Bitcoin as well, because for XRP to hit an all-time high in the near future or the longer-term future, it's likely that Bitcoin's going to need to go first, because that's how the market works. So when people are seeing Bitcoin go to 44 just now, there's a level of excitement, because that means the altcoins might go with it. But Bitcoin must go first, because if we look at the alt market, there's only a handful of coins that have had any real movement off the back of this recent pump in Bitcoin. So if you're going to win on one, you might as well win on the other, in my view.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, you're not wrong at all. Of course, having any of it is a win, but I speak about this quite a lot on consultations and stuff, because it's the same question that comes up, and we talk about Bitcoin running first, and it moves into Ethereum, then into lower cap alts. But it depends on the investor as well, because if you're investing 500 quid, the returns you're going to get by just holding Bitcoin versus holding a couple of low cap altcoins isn't really, definitely it's still a gain, right? I get that, but depending on your plan and stuff, it's doesn't always seem as much of a good idea.
That's a really good point. What are your expectations on returns? And that's one of the problems with the market, actually. People think every coin could do 100x, and some of them absolutely can. Yeah. But as you said, if you had Bitcoin, you might get substantial returns versus the other.
Think about this. Bitcoin, to get to its all-time high, is not even a 2x. And you're going to put 500 quid into that. If it goes to its all-time high, you're getting like 100 quid. Again, depending on everyone's circumstances, are different, right? But as an investor in this crazy market, majority of the time, you're quite risky, because it's a risky asset. So you want as best ROI as possible. So that £500 could be split between lower cap altcoins, even Ethereum, because the gains are a little bit better, just based on maybe a 2x, 3x return to its all-time high.
Those that have a good memory will know as well that you bought in Ethereum quite...
Yeah, very low.
And when it went to 4.8, you were one of the people that was really pleased with that.
So I foolishly sold out some of it on the way up. I say foolishly, I still made obviously some profit, but I switched into other things. And if I just held it, would have been a little bit better, but that's just part of the game. I would never have got rid of the whole kind of bag, as we call it. It was a case of, you know, splitting up. I got it at like $80, $100, whatever it may be. I know, it's insane. Even if you go back and we used to watch some of the old IGTVs, you'll remember them. And I remember, again, we spoke about this recently, actually, where on IGTV, I was like, Ethereum under $300, I'm buying it. And it wasn't until like a year or two later, we had done a course in our fast track course that we're doing. One of the boys was like, oh yeah, I remember you saying anything under $300 for Ethereum, I'm going to buy it. And I did it. And it just goes to show you, like, it went down to, about $4,500. So even buying it, even at $1,000 would have been beneficial, great again, depending on your plan. But
yeah, that is a really good point, because everyone has different circumstances. I think the majority of people that are getting into crypto for the first time, Bitcoin makes more sense because of all the fundamentals you've just spoken about, Deck. But if you're somebody that's maybe a little bit, and I don't want to say desperate, but maybe more keen to get higher returns, of course the alt market makes more risk. Yeah. You've got more tolerance.
Yeah.
And not to get away from the fact that, so when we speak about altcoins, the goal of making higher ROI on altcoins is then to buy Bitcoin. So it's like, we are Bitcoin. Like without Bitcoin, the market is nothing. So like when we speak about making money on altcoins, that is to buy Bitcoin with, because you should be accumulating as much Bitcoin as possible. So Bitcoin is still the king. It's just when we speak of altcoins, it's just like in return on investment terms, of course, altcoins are going to be higher. So if you're an investor, altcoins is where you need to look.
Yeah, everyone's main goal in crypto is to own as much Bitcoin as humanly possible for the long run. If you're in it for the long run, that makes sense. If you're not and you're in it just for a quick like hit and run, that's fine. Altcoins will kind of...
And as you touched on as well with the whole circumstance thing, that's massive, because people ask us, what should I do? Or what should I buy this? Or there's no answer for one person. It's like...
It's not everybody, a template answer.
Everybody's different time horizons, different goals, different reasons for being involved. So there's no answer. There's no answer for that. You need to dig into your own situation first. We can't just say, oh, buy this much of this coin and then sell it for the... There's no template.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Interestingly, the Bitcoin price has improved despite some FUD, which Donald kindly explained for us in one of the other episodes. The news around Binance was pretty negative for people's trust within the market. Do you guys want to just cover what happened there?
So Binance has been, in fact, I described it on a YouTube video, has been having an onslaught of negative news for years against Binance.
And CZ.
The founder, yeah. the guy who's running the show, essentially. And the reason for that, again, surprise, surprise, is the US government that is going after them. So the reasons for the US... Our take on it is that the US government who enforce these actions, they are basically criminals stealing money from other companies. That's the way we see it. So they just, if a company has a face, they'll go sue them for whatever reason it is. That's how they make money in the US. They sue people. So Binance, unfortunately, had a face, which was CZ, so they can go after him. That's why the US government hasn't went after Bitcoin. That's why Bitcoin hasn't got a face. That's why the Bitcoin, whoever created Bitcoin is pseudonymous. Because if it was a face, the US government would throw him in jail and take all the money.
Allegations again, smear campaign, and we know how that works.
The full shebang, just constant onslaught of negative news that they are funding terrorism. Just insert any typical media narrative.
I saw a clip this morning, guys. It's almost like, or I think our phones are listening to us, of the JP Morgan CEO calling for Bitcoin to be banned.
He's back.
And, which is wild, because we all know on his balance sheet he's got Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Which is, that is one of my favourite things about this market. They'll smear it in public almost to get, like, if it can get the price down, they'll be loading their bags.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's right, that's what it famously was. Like, is it Jamie Dimon, I'm sure his name is?
Yeah,
famously, well, not famous, I guess it is like a famous story now, where he was like sacking people from JP Morgan, like you were not allowed to talk about it.
You have a ledger, you're
right. Yeah,
out.
And then he came out and said, oh yeah, I've been buying it. And it's literally just to keep...
on the market that
Yeah, because you imagine JP Morgan, one of the biggest banks globally, announced, yeah, we're buying Bitcoin. All the retail people that just go off news are like, right, cool, well, I better buy it. And then that's obviously...
I think that's the thing with crypto as well. When you learn about crypto, it basically unearths all the corruption in the world from the institutions, from the governments, from the banks. It just unearths it all. And then once you see behind that curtain, everything makes sense. And you just see that it's all just narrative driven, fake news. That's just how they do it. And they do it to manipulate markets, to make money off it. Long and short, they'll make money off it either way. When Bitcoin goes down, those who manipulate it will make money off it. When it goes up, they'll make money off it. So the likes of Jamie Dimon, that's all he's doing. When he says bad stuff about it, he's manipulating it. Good stuff, he's manipulating it to make money off it.
Because they have influence as a household name that everyone recognises, whereas people in the States maybe don't recognise Binance in the same way they recognise JP Morgan.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway. That's just the nature of it.
Go back to the Binance point as well, is the people that are now in charge of Binance. So I don't know if you've seen this whole story as well. It's quite... just government-y. I guess it's going back to Dex says about corruption and stuff. So they've appointed people who are part of like the World Economic Forum as well. And again, it's like tinfoil hat, like whatever it may be. But essentially CZ, they've wanted CZ for years, but he has no central location. He just floats about as you would.
For that sole reason.
Crypto billionaire, why would you have a set location? So they've been trying and trying and trying, and finally they've got him. And again, I do believe, again, quite tinfoil hat when it comes to just news in general, but especially crypto news. It's all time for the market as well. Again, with the news starting to break out. And I actually said this, I think it was on a Coffee and Crypto episode, where this is good news. This is good for the market. Whereas people are thinking, oh, hang on a minute, Binance, one of the largest, if not most well-known, other than Coinbase, in the world is, hang on a minute, they're being sued, CZ stepping down. Like, this is a catastrophe. However, it's actually, like I said, it's the opposite. It's when, right, cool, that's us. We're essentially like marking a bottom as such. And I feel like I keep saying this famously, but on the last podcast, did I not say?
You kept you at the bottom.
The FTX thing. So again, I feel like it's another scenario where we're now in the pre-bull. That was one of the last stories to really start, right, cool, box has been ticked, we can move on. Let's now put these people who are from the World Economic Forum, i.e. the government, in charge of one of the largest or most recognized platforms in crypto. We can now start to
control
Is it monopolize? Is that the word?
It is.
Monopolize the crypto market, take more control. We're getting beat with the Ripple case, the SEC and whatnot. So let's try another
verge. Avenue. Yeah,
and it wasn't so long ago they sued Binance as well. Remember, like back in July? In July, we'd seen they sued
Coinbase as well.
Coinbase,
it's all so fake, and it's just to gain control. It's a pile of nonsense. They sued Coinbase, which is the biggest exchange in the US. They sued them for selling unregistered securities. Within that same year, they allowed them, or the year previous, they allowed them to go public. So to allow a company, so they gave them permission to go public. So did you not look at what they were selling then? Why did you wait two years, then sue them? Did you not look into the company? It's all a load of nonsense to gain control. But the government, the US government, does have control of Coinbase. So that's why Coinbase is allowed to function.
The term would be captured.
Yeah. Exactly. And now Binance.
It's ideologically captured as well.
And now Binance is captured.
Two of the largest,
exactly. And again, it's all you. No other country in the world does this. It's all from the US, all the US government. No other country does that. Yep. Dubai welcomes them in. Like, come here, do your thing. Because all these companies want compliance. They beg for compliance. They go into the SEC's office. I don't know the numbers, but like Coinbase met with the SEC like 50 times in a year, and then the SEC sued them. It's like, why did you not say a thing when we ran 50 times to ask you compliance questions? Why did you not tell us that we might have been doing something wrong in those 50 meetings you had with us? Because it's all a scam, that's why.
Everyone recognises that crypto is a coming thing, but some people are desperately trying to prevent that, or they're trying to get their claws in before it becomes a thing.
I was going
to
say that. I don't think they're preventing it. I think they're just like, wait a minute.
If they can stall it enough to allow them to get a grip of it, that is absolutely massive. And I think my trust was broken by the C19 period. We've spoken offline, and we don't need to do this in case we get taken off YouTube. But although interestingly, anything that we said back then, interestingly, is now allowed to be factual on YouTube as well.
Funny that, but
crypto definitely does open your mind a little bit to the nature of centralized control, which the WEF, which you've spoken about there, is gunning towards. One of the terms that is synonymous with crypto is bull market and bull run. So many people are very excited at this moment in time, 16,000 to 44,000, amazing news. Are we in the bull market?
Just chill, man.
No.
Chill. Everyone chill. Relax.
The answer is no, we are not. Well, technically speaking, you don't know you're in a bull market technically until you look back on the chart and you see, because we bottomed over a year ago now, and we've been in an uptrend for over a year. So over the space of the next 2 or 3 years, if Bitcoin sets a new all-time high, then yes, technically this could be a bull run now.
It would be the start of it.
There's not like, all right, today is the new bull run. When you can date, again, as Dex said, when you date back in a year or two's time, you can go, ah, right, okay, so here's the switch. flick the switch, as we like to say. It's what we term pre-bull, I guess. It's a retracement. We mentioned this at the very start of the year. Bitcoin will probably get to about 40K in October time. Missed it by about a month, but it's a retracement rally. This is just the norm. It will probably come back down, and most definitely will come back down before.
Because markets don't go up forever, they don't go down forever. So when Don's saying it's going to go back up in a retracement, that just means that it's been going down for 2 years. It's going to retrace back up the way again, because markets don't go up forever, they don't go down forever. They retrace in between then.
Yeah, because I think there is sentiment. People are so excited seeing some positive news again, which was necessary, wasn't it?
Yeah, we needed it. 100% we needed it. It's been a long bear market. Like, it was rough for all of us. Even us, we are, I guess, seasoned to an extent.
Seasoned vets.
You guys have been through it before. And the reason that I was quite stoic during it, and people were like maybe questioning that I was still buying crypto as part of my asset allocation, I was saying, well, if I zoom out, I can see, and I've said this before, the end of 21 and all of 2022 was your 2017, 2018, 2019.
Basically,
because
getting
hit from pillar to post, told you were crazy, told you were nuts. And at that time, more people would have said that because you didn't have the proof of the pudding. Whereas you guys had the proof of the pudding during mid-2020 onwards, and you reaped the rewards of it. Look at the lifestyle you guys live now. Look at the business you've built. It's tremendous.
It was still tough, though. That's the thing. And we've seen a massive drop-off in views, just everything, of course, naturally, because, again, it goes back to what we said. No one wants to listen to you when Bitcoin is super low, because it's just not the sexy part of crypto anymore. But if you did, then you are reaping the rewards. Even though we had that proof of 2021, it was great for the people that listened, but it's trying to get those listeners, because they just run. They move to something else. They jump onto the next kind of...
And it breaks down to the most standard thing that we've said since day one, basically, on this podcast. It's so standard. You need to buy low and you need to sell high to win in the game of investment. Any market, property, stocks, whatever it is, you need to buy low to sell high if you want to profit. That's standard. So why were you not buying low? Bitcoin was low. We said that. Bitcoin was $69,000. Now it's $16,000. Bitcoin is low. Break it down as standard as possible. It's not advanced. Bitcoin was $69,000. Now it's 16. That means that is low. 16 is a lower number than 69.
That's factual.
That is statistically low.
Community notes on X agrees.
Exactly.
I can confirm.
But now it's getting higher. So the higher it goes, the more people want to buy it. But that means that you're then buying high.
It's so backwards, man.
Investing isn't difficult. It's buy low, sell high. If you break it down to that in its simplest form, it is extremely easy. The difficult part is going against your own emotions. But if you can detach from your emotions, which again, back in 2020, that's all we've been on about is emotions. If you can detach from emotions and realize it's just a game of buying low and selling high, it becomes very easy.
Yeah. What would you say to people that are a little bit euphoric just now over the market?
Good. Enjoy it.
I enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Again, it's like we said, we needed it because it was getting rough. I mean, for us, we run it every single day. We're the daft ones. We are eat, sleep, like repeat. It is just crypto.
Coin stats repeat.
Literally, yeah. Which, again, we love. That's just our thing. That's all we know. We're actually saying this yesterday, I think it was. We're chatting to our cameraman, Mark. And it's weird that we just, for a living, we just talk about crypto, but it's also our investment, it's also our business, it's also just our lifestyle, essentially. So it was easier for us, but we also had to remember that we had thousands of people that also need us to keep that mindset level, have the experience, share that experience.
Leading from the front is so important, and I think the different people that I've spoken to across the 3.5-4 years in the podcast, it's really important that you do that. You need to walk the walk. So you guys, having been through it, you can be that kind of beacon to say, look, let's keep going.
Definitely. And it was on episode 2 of Cambro Conversations that we did, that when Bitcoin was breaking into all-time highs, everybody was super excited. And we were talking about the bear market on that show. Well, during the bull market, it's like, right, what's next? The bear market's next. And you were saying, what are you going to do in the bear market? And we said to you, during the bear market, we're just going to be there, turning up every week.
That was it. You're going to be the voice of reason. You need. Yeah,
exactly.
That is such a good point, because you guys had that in 2017.
Exactly. So we you asked us what you're going to do in the bear market, and that's said, just keep turning up.
Just be there.
Just be there and let everybody know. When the
views drop, we're still here talking. We're still
exactly,
producing.
Exactly, so there's a Russ lyric. We're big kind of Russ fans, and it's like the come up is documented. You can scroll down, and it's like that's with our story. You can scroll down and see it all.
I've seen the screenshots.
You can go through the Cambro podcast with Crypto Glasgow, and you can see the market. It's all documented. It's all there.
It's good. We've still got it on our Instagram page. If you go to the highlights section and scroll to the end, there's like two of just the build up from 2020, and it's amazing just to go back through it sometimes because the Ethereum stuff's in there, and there's just loads of us just back then, and it's all obviously came to fruition. Or it's just crazy to even look back at those prices. Do you think did that happen? Because it seems like it was so long ago. Because
and what's wild is you would kill for those prices to buy now, exactly, if you knew what was coming.
Well, people had, this is the thing, you had them, and the way crypto works is it doesn't, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it won't come back down to those levels. It legs up and legs up. So it's like if you zoom right out, it's just like a set of stairs.
We're less likely to see 10 grand Bitcoin now than before.
But as we mentioned on the last podcast as well, that people beg for lower prices, and then when lower prices come, no, but I want even lower again.
That's right.
So it's like even no matter how low it goes, people always want lower. No matter how high it goes, people always want higher. So yeah, you said there that you're getting to buy those prices again. That's fine, but people won't do it because they're scared. Because they're emotionally attached, which is you need to detach the emotions and say, set levels, I'm going to buy Bitcoin when it's at 20k, 19k, 18k, and then when it's there, do what you said you're going to do.
Yeah, okay. So I want to ask you about targets, because people, and I was really guilty of this when it went to 69 last time. I was in the Diamond Hand crew, which is one of the few crypto terms that I'm really well read up on. That's where like you think it's going to go to the moon, you think it's going to go parabolic, and 69 was already outrageously high. I'd never gone before that before, and I was convinced maybe 100. But this time round, when it gets near that level, I will be looking to take some of the profits off and then reinvest when it comes back down. And that, for me, is an important realization in my mind that needs to happen this time round.
Yeah, again, we've got a few bits on this, but again, it's the same as when should I buy, what should I buy? It's all down to you as an individual that you need to plan and set out. So for the likes of profit taking, the best advice is set up a profit taking plan now before the market moves. So if you set out your profit taking plan when Bitcoin was 20k, you would have set out levels 30k, 40k, 50k that you could have executed through that period. But because you never, and you were like living in the moment, and the news is good then, the sentiment's good then, you think, oh, I'm just going to hold on longer. So the best advice for profit taking is set out a plan. And we do most of the consultations we do is like profit taking plans for people. That's kind of what we do, put it up on the whiteboard and just set out a plan, because when the market pumps, as you've just described there, you're euphoric, so you think this is never going to end. So you need to pre-set a plan for profit taking
and stick to it.
That is it, because in the moment, if the spreadsheet or the document says sell, you just need to execute as you say.
It's like with your gym, it's like, no, I need to do this, I need to do this at the gym. Do what you said you're going to do, and that's it. And it becomes easy. You don't just walk in the gym and think, oh, I might do this today.
The reason all this all comes from experience as well, by the way. This isn't just something that we just say, because we didn't do that good enough in 2021. Partly because we're focusing a lot on building the business and the brand and whatever it may be, but also just because it was all just happening at the one time. So we hadn't kind of pre-planned it, because as much as you can expect it and we expected it, it's like you didn't expect it to go just as like crazy as it did.
Which happens every bull market. It always surpasses.
Catches you by surprise.
That's right. And it's like it's what we say as well, when you're setting plans, if it goes higher, fantastic. It goes to your plan, fantastic. You win either way.
Yes, but make sure you win. That's the key, because people aren't, when you're blinded and in the moment, you're not taking the win. You're just convinced that the next high is coming.
That's emotions. It's such an important part. And I guess it's the social media craze will be, all the influencers will be in that realm of, it's going higher, it's going higher. Because it did that in 2021, which caught everyone off guard. It's going to 100K, this big psychological level, but on a chart, no chance it was going to 100k. Like, we're lucky to get to, I think it was like 72 it could have got to, something like that, based on Fibonacci and actual charts, which is the whole point of crypto. Not just because five influencers say it's going to 100K, it's going to go to 100K.
This is why it's valuable to have a conversation with you guys, because while you're living the exciting lifestyle, the crypto money, it's flowing in, we're smashing it, you're also trying to keep a realistic handle on things and say from the technical perspective and what the charts show, 72 is possible. And people are like, oh, but such and such said 100. Okay, great. I know he's got a Lambo and I know he's smashing it, but you guys are doing the cool financial stuff, but you're also just trying to, guys, let's just hold on.
It's actually why we haven't grown bigger than what we potentially could have. If we played into that realm of the norm, the influencer norm, then of course we could have had the Lambos, living in Dubai, like yachts, whatever it may be, but that's not real. And you know, as personally, like, we just keep it real. We'll tell you what you need to hear. You might not want to hear
it. Delivered some hard messages. Yeah, yeah.
Since 2020, our message from day one, when we had no followers, 100 followers, was, look, Bitcoin is going to pump, but then it's going to crash 90%. That was the message. And I don't know if it crashed around 83%, but still, that's a massive crash. But our message from day one, before it had even pumped, is when it does pump, remember that it's going to crash again. Yeah. But again, the like, as Don's saying, we could have grew more, is like selling dreams, is that, oh, Bitcoin's just going to go up forever.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if it's not good for them, they're just like, oh, yeah. give
again,
me the good news.
It's good for business, but we are just keeping it
so
real.
So we give like the our members not what they want to hear, what they need to hear. So if that's, even if it's bad or good, we give them what they need to hear, the hard messages, that's what you need.
Because that's what we want. Aye. Like, we don't want to fall into the trap of, and we did, we have a few times where, oh, it's going to this, right, I'll buy it. But that was just all like exit liquidity, people getting paid to say that, like just the kind of fugazi.
One more bit on profit taking as well, that's really, really important, is that a lot of people will say, oh, what price is this coin going to so that I can take profit? And that shouldn't be the plan. The plan shouldn't be to try and sell the top. The plan should be based on you. So if for instance, because everyone's different, so people could be investing dollar cost averaging over a few years, small amounts, or you could get someone like you, for instance, you just invested 50K lump sum in Bitcoin. You're happy with 90, 100% returns. You're happy with 50K and then you're out. It doesn't matter what Bitcoin goes to. It's all on your plan. So profit taking isn't, what price is that going to go to so I can sell when it's super high? It's, what price are you happy with? 1x, 2x, 3x? What are you happy with in that moment? That's how you should be looking at profit taking, not what can it do? Can I get?
That's an information that a lot of people need to hear as well.
That's what the one-to-ones are. We start, the most recent one we had was just about a week ago before we filmed this podcast. Friday night, evening session, had the guy in, and we started with, what's your goal? And he didn't necessarily have one because he was just in crypto. He just invested money, knew that it would go up. And Dex like, no, what's your goal? And we kind of reverse engineered where he was wanting to go. And as we get into it more and more and more, we kind of managed to get the goal, what the actual goal was.
Like unearthed it.
Yeah, and
flesh
then,
it out, draw
yeah,
it.
Then you build out, rather than, oh, I've invested 50 grand, what happens next? It's like, no.
When should I sell? How high is it going to go so I can sell? That's going to get you burned, you'll lose.
Yeah, exactly. And don't get me wrong, you'll make some sort of profit, but I can guarantee you won't make the profit that you actually had planned for or hoped for.
A real actionable takeaway from what we've discussed so far is that people need to write down those targets.
The power of writing stuff down. I don't do it enough, but even an emotional log as well. It's not so much I'm selling at this, I want that. It's prices at $44,000. I feel fantastic. I'm up 10%, whatever it may be. Just write it down.
Well, I showed Deck before this what I was up overnight. And that's a lot of money for to gain in 24 hours. You're not getting that from any other asset class. And it's easy. Like, I felt more bullish this morning than I felt even when it was like 50, 60 last time round, just because of the amount that I've averaged in over that period of time that moves the dial more.
Write that down. You're very much a dear diary. I know that. Yeah, dear diary today.
I had a lovely podcast with Deck and Don, yeah. And then
picked me up in a lovely car and dropped me off. But in all seriousness, I know you love to kind of journal and whatever it may be. So start that. That could be something to take away. And even anyone watching,
it's good to look back on all the time.
Yeah, any of yours watching this who love to journal and whatever it may be, write it down. Write down your emotions. Don't just write down
why you're buying crypto at that time.
Yeah, I want a Lamborghini. I want this. Like, that's cool. That will all come at some point. But make sure that your emotions are in check. Sorry, because when it gets real, it gets real, and your emotions go out the window.
Before you sell, like, write down why you're selling and say, right, I'll sell tomorrow, and then give yourself 24 hours to digest, then decide to sell and look at your notes and say, like, wow, I'm actually being pretty emotional here, because you'll be writing down, Binance got sued, everything's looking bad, and it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be like that. In the bear market, it's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be scary. All scary news stories mark bottoms in the market. If you look at a Bitcoin chart now, it's like every bottom has been like FTX, Celsius. Then you've got Binance.
I think China might be banning it. I heard that.
Again. Exactly. Well, actually, it's funny because, yes, that's the norm. We spoke about that so much. But when I kind of cover coffee and crypto, the past few months, even like 6 months ago, China totally flipped the switch. And again, I think it's all part of a bigger plan. And they've been doing it in the background because they know that America is just crumbling. So China are now allowing crypto licensing. They're inviting crypto companies because they're like, we've got all the, like, the infrastructure, like whatever it may be. So it's actually like, yes, but
it's
flipped.
See, statistically as well, if you look at it, it's amazing. So during bear markets, China allows people to buy Bitcoin.
That's right.
During bull markets, it bans it. That means that they're making their people win. The United States, obviously, is the opposite. They do so they'll allow you to buy in the bull market when it's really when you shouldn't be buying, and then in the bear market they'll ban it.
Try and discourage
they
you.
Don't want their people to make money. It's so sad because we love the United States. We love the United States.
You were just there in Vegas, wasn't
it? The way the government run whoever runs America, it's a shame for the people, because the people are the best people in the world, but the way they get treated is crazy.
Yeah. We mentioned this is pre-bull. What might signal a bull market?
Breaking certain levels. Yeah, there's obviously indicators.
We need to get to the halving. We saved this back in 2020, but we need to get to the halving, then we'll discuss it. But essentially, the way I talk about it, and Deco probably kind of come in at some point when I mention the words or the letters ETF. So the ETF stuff is... it's fugazi. It could be the catalyst for the next bull run. I said the news narrative, but as Dick mentioned, just the kind of first answer there was the charts, whatever it may be. There'll be a level that needs to get to. That is the real answer. But the retail answer, the news answer, will be the ETF being approved, denied, postponed, whatever it may be, because that is going to fall. So they've been postponing it, but they have a final deadline in quarter one, so February, March time. Which is just funny because it coincides about a month or so just before the Bitcoin halving. Yep. We normally see a bit of a dump to an extent before the halving. You know, so it's already like perfectly timed.
As we've seen from the Ripple case, deadlines don't mean anything. When it's a government entity, deadlines don't mean anything.
You can kick it down the road.
Exactly. Correct. And they will. They will do it. Until they decide that they want to do it and time it to make the most money for themselves, then they'll decide. The deadlines don't mean anything.
And as
it's
retail,
when they decide that matters.
As retail investors... You, I, the people listening to this, we need to be slightly desensitized to that news and aware of what it actually means fundamentally in terms of the
because that news, so the ETF news was actually in 2016-17 as well, the bull market. Then it was the 2021 bull market as well. I don't know if you remember, it was backed. That's it was right. Like the backed ETF. So it's like there has always been this narrative, and the reason for anyone who doesn't know why it is so massive is... An ETF is like an exchange-traded fund where institutional investors can invest in a fund that gives them exposure to Bitcoin. So either by directly investing in Bitcoin or indirectly. So there is different types of ETFs, which one of them is multiple are already live now, but it's a futures ETF. So a futures ETF means that you are buying into a contract on the future price of Bitcoin. But the ETF now, that's the big narrative, the talk of the town, is a spot Bitcoin ETF. So what that means is that fund, the exchange traded fund, they need to go buy Bitcoin for that fund. That's why it's massive, because these funds is gigantic institutions, $10 trillion, the biggest institutions in the world, like BlackRock, the biggest in the world, they've got $10, $15 trillion in assets under management. So if 10%, 5% of that gets allocated into Bitcoin, they need to go buy that Bitcoin from
the
market.
It can.
So the ETF is huge. which so we're really bullish on the ETF. What we're not bullish on is that it's very government controlled and they decide when it's
the
approved.
Timing of it.
It's disapproved because ETFs have been going on. They've had them for years, but they're all futures. So they'll allow all the futures. They'll allow you to gamble on the price, but they won't allow the spot Bitcoin ETF because in 2018, the marking of the top of that bull market was that an ETF was launched. That marked the top, but then that means that people were able to short Bitcoin all the way down. So that the day the ETF was launched in 2018 marked the top of Bitcoin. From then, it went from 20K to 3K. So that's, you need to bear that in mind as well.
Understand the picture.
That it can mark tops as
well.
Whereas
in complete contrast, mathematically, the Bitcoin halving will take place and there's nothing that the US government or anyone can do about it because it's written into the code of the asset class. So that is what people need to be understanding and aware of. And I'll put on record that I have done really well in my day job this year, and I am waiting for a lower price than 44K to accumulate as much Bitcoin as I can before the halving.
Good idea.
And of course, I'm still doing my dollar cost averaging, but I'm also leaving a little bit behind because I'm really, really excited about what Bitcoin might do off the back of that halving.
Nice. No, I mean, you're learning.
Good plan. That's good great. Plan.
Yep. You actually sound like you know what you're talking about.
I sound like I've listened.
Let's go.
About 7 hours of us recording together, we're almost there and all the conversations away from that.
Getting there.
One of the things I want to ask is, what projects are you most excited about for the upcoming bull run? And it's one of your most common questions, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's a very common answer, I feel, as well. Like, and not to sound like a broken record, but of course, Swissborg is, again, we talk about it, we are the biggest
Since last time it changed from CHSB to Borg.
To Borg, that's right. So, again, for many reasons, that it's, even just to talk on that point, they've now changed to a massive kind of all-in-one exchange where they've got foreign exchange as well as crypto. And it's a big DeFi. It's literally like it's the world's first type of exchange. So that's one good catalyst towards why we love the project so much.
So many catalysts.
Other than the other kind of 50 catalysts. So Swissborg again is one of our kind of main focuses, at least anyway.
And just to give my insights on Swissborg, it's been as low as 10, 11 cent.
Yeah.
And it's been as high as 105 something.
No,
like
one in dollars, but yeah. 158, I think it was.
158. So yeah. If you bought in at that high and you weren't accumulating on the way down, no wonder you're
as we mentioned earlier on there, break it down simple. What 150 was a number, now 11. What
that's
150 is really high. 11 is really low. What does that mean? That means you should buy 11, sell 150. That's break it down. Forget about dollars. Just think about numbers. That number's really high. That number's really low. But people are like, oh, I don't want to buy it because it's scary. It's like, no, it's not about that. It's about, there's much more than that. It's numbers. It's really easy. But
Swissborg was popular last time round. I think this time round, based on some of the scary news about things like Binance, Swissborg will be a platform that more people have faith in again, so I think the coin off the back of that will do well.
Definitely,
it's one of the only kind of exchanges of its kind that has like proof, it has been checked by legal requirements, you know, it's got the security
regulated,
that it needs regulated
audited.
It works slightly different than regular exchanges, it aggregates prices, it's just, it does all the things. Essentially what they've done is they've stepped back and thought, right, that's what they guys do, let's amalgamate all of that and do it right. And that's what they have been doing since they've launched and continue to do and bring it. They don't, this is another thing as well, they don't rush it out,
nah.
Which a lot of exchanges do. FTX, for example, rushed it out, became one of the largest.
Within a year, just popped up.
Yeah, sponsored everything. Whereas crazy. Swissborg, again, the kind of CEO and founder, Cyrus, behind the kind of whole start of it, is from a wealth background,
management,
working in banks and whatnot. So he has got that kind of mindset. Again, it's in Switzerland as well, so it's like when you think of Switzerland, you think of watches, chocolate and banks. That's what I think of anyway, and some beautiful scenery, of course. But he's come from that background and he's now applying that logic to this new asset class.
Because Swissborg is a wealth management app, so they're not a crypto exchange, they're a wealth management app, so they are slightly different. But what we mentioned, I don't know what episode of Cambro Conversations it was, but you basically asked, like, what do you look for in a bear market? Like, why will you be buying things? And it's like, we want to see companies, projects that are continually building when times are bad. And over the last 2 years, when times were really bad, Swissborg launched 8, 9, 10 different products within their app, all the updates to their app. So it's like, that's exactly what we want to see. During the bad times, they're continually building. There was companies, Coinbase, Binance, almost every company was laying off hundreds of thousands of staff during the bear market because they'd overextended themselves, they put out too much money, and then as soon as the market took a downturn, it's like, oh, sorry, we need to sack everyone. Swissborg was different. We'll continue to build. We won't overextend. We won't waste money on sponsorships. We'll just build an amazing product. And then however long it takes for people to get on board with that product, it is what it is. But we're not going to go out there and just waste $100 million on sponsoring a football stadium. Like, what's that really going to bring? It's nonsense. That's
an egotistical flex.
It is. And we've seen that with so many different exchanges. But Swissborg is different, and that's why we like them. That's why we like the coin Borg, which basically, if you're using the wealth management app, that coin that you have, the Borg token, will get you higher interest rates, lower fees, a lot of different things. It will get you access to things like seed rounds. They're continually just adding on layers and layers and layers. So, I don't know. People might think we've got an agenda with Swissborg, but if you break it down in the basic terms, it's just a really, really, really good product.
It goes back to what we're saying
earlier. Use every day. It's like, Amazon every day. We use Swissborg. It's like,
your money's in the line too. Yeah,
it goes back to what we say. Like, we tell you what you need to hear. Mm-hmm. And yes, we might sound like we talk about them a lot. There's a reason for that. You need to know this information. We could probably do a podcast just on Swissborg, because it's like, it is so powerful. Build it and they will come. And that's essentially what they're doing. So it's definitely, again, a big project, but there's some reasons.
Because a lot of our plays are like speculation plays. Swissborg is the opposite. That's like Swissborg, XRP, Bitcoin. They are not speculation.
They're the 3CG, OGs.
They're data-driven, statistical-driven. They're not speculative punts, which in the crypto market, you can almost just blindfold yourself, throw money at something and it will make profit in a bull market. But with the big three, Borg, Bitcoin, XRP, it's like they've got a bigger allocation. We've got more confidence. There's really big reasons pushing that investment decision over time that helps us make that decision.
Yeah, understood.
Any other would you touch on?
Yeah, what else are you excited about?
I guess we could talk about some like lower cap stuff as well, like Opulous, for example. Again, some viewers will be, of course, members know that we brought that to our members in January when it hit a super, essentially bottomed out back in January.
Go further back than that?
In what sense?
So we first, in fact, that's a really good story. We first seen that in 2021 when it was super high. We were on a live stream, someone says, check out Opulous.
Our man Connor, our graphic designer.
Connor. He says, check out Opulous. So had a look at the website, had a look at what it does. It was basically a musical NFT platform, but it had really big partnerships, a lot behind it. So we looked into it and we're like, wow, that looks amazing. Then what you need to do in crypto, I looked at the chart and the chart was a straight line up, straight green line up. And I was like, wow, I really like that project. The chart, I cannot buy that. So I'm like, I'm going to save it. I'm going to bookmark it and we'll come back to it. So we did. That was 2021. Fast forward a year and a half, it was down 99%. So then we revisited it. Like, we really liked that in 2021. It's now down 99%. Now we're going to buy it.
And we did.
And we did.
It was like 4 cents, 5 cents, went to 30 cents within about a month.
In a bear market.
It was crazy. So we looked at it from a chart perspective, but it was about 2 weeks after that, they started to really ramp up and release their new products, their marketing. So we were like, well, we timed it based on charts, but they were obviously...
They launched based on timing on charts.
They were doing the exact same thing. They were waiting for it to be...
Impressive.
Yeah. And it worked, so it went to 30 cents. So that's probably another project we would mention. Again, more of a... I wouldn't say as speculative, but it's definitely a speculative...
What's the highest Opulous has been?
About $7.
Okay, wow.
So it's tens of thousands of percent gains back to its all-time high.
Of course... No financial advice, guys.
Financial advice on this podcast.
But you're excited about that one.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Because it's something we liked when it music, was super high.
We love music. We've mentioned it already. Like, music's a massive deal for us. So that just made sense because we kind of, same with even LimeWire, we can bring up LimeWire as well. It's another project where it's music based, not quite the same.
Anyone of our age as well really remembers LimeWire first time around.
That's why we like it as well, because it's got that
nostalgic.
nostalgic brand relevance. Like people know it. So in a bull market, when you call them like normies or whatever it is, they'll come into the market and then they'll maybe go to things that they
recognize.
It's got a brand that they feel they can trust.
Exactly. So that's why we invest in things like that.
Even based on that point, one last one from me, MV.
Yeah.
So project again, it's like, this is more of a speculative, but to an extent not, because again, as Dick's saying, it's something to recognize. The game's called, it's a kind of digital NFT / gaming project called Genzo Kishi, but their ticker, which we call it, so it's XRP's ticker is like, XRP, obviously.
Bitcoin's ticker's BTC.
Yeah, that's what they call it, ticker. Well, Genzo Kishi's is MV, and what that stands for is Metaverse. So we all know, again, if you're into crypto, AI, and that tech space, the Metaverse was a huge explosion when Facebook kind of changed to Meta and so on and so forth. So that, again, kind of goes back to why we found that was so powerful, because, Metaverse. Oh, I know about the Metaverse. I'm going to invest in that.
And it did so 180x ROI in the space of a few weeks or months.
Probably overall a couple of months.
See, a few months.
It had a really good launch. We brought it to members as well, actually. It launched on Bybit at the time.
So this is the insanity of this market. So $1,000 invested in that coin within the space of a few months was $180,000.
Yep.
that is the lunacy of this market. But we've just sat through 2 years of losses. So there's we can tell you these good things, but there's 2 years of losses as well. So it's like,
during those 2 years, you need to remain calm.
It's not sunshine.
I don't need that money out at this time.
Yeah, it's not sunshine and rainbows. It's difficult. But if you hang in there long enough, there's things like 180x on the table. It's a big company, big project, big backing. It's got a really good ticker. Metaverse was really popular at the time. It just made sense. The stars aligned, 180x ROI.
So it's another project that continues to do things as well.
Yeah, they've built in the bear market.
They're building the foundations for when the good times come.
Correct.
Which impresses people who understand crypto.
Yeah, if you're a legit investor, not even talking about crypto, if you're an investor in any asset class, you're going to do a bit of research and kind of planning for it and hope that the company's still, relevant doing things. It's the same in crypto. Do the exact same, just it's a bit different because the prices go 1,000 times return and whatever it may be. But yeah, it's
on a negative aspect, what projects do you think are overhyped?
About 99% of them. It'd be hard to name, to be honest. And this is the thing as well. We don't really do that. We don't really
trash talk.
We don't trash talk, because it's like everyone's doing, they're all in their own lane, they're all doing something, and it'll be beneficial to someone.
Plus, is there anything you're concerned that people get too excited by?
To touch on that, like, see the trash talking thing, and the reason we can't trash talk is, no matter what and how, we learned this in 2021, no matter how garbage, no matter how pointless a project is, it can still do ludicrous gains, hundreds of thousands of percent gains, like the dog coins. So if you're in it, so the way we see it is, if you're in it for percentage gains and you're investing in nonsense, a dog coin, a cup coin, whatever it is, garbage, then that's up to you, because yes, it can do insane gains, but with us, we are more on the serious side. We need a bit of a backing, some sort of meat behind it.
Something to hold
on to. So it depends on the person. So we can't really trash talk much. Well, we trash talk and say everything, majority is a load of nonsense. We'll say that. But if you want to go out there and invest in it, that's up to you. Like, everybody needs to do what they want to do. But what was the other question? Is there any?
Is there anything you're worried people get too excited by?
Hype in general, man. Like, we've seen it with, remember the NFT of that podcast?
Oh, my goodness.
Was a good one.
Timed that to perfection.
That was so funny.
Perfection.
Yep. That was February 2022.
The abuse we got for talking negatively.
We told you so.
How can, but we just look at it in common sense. Like, how can we get abuse for saying that a picture of a monkey at $20 million is a load of nonsense? It's like, no, but it's got a good community. It's like, it's a picture of a monkey. It's $20 million.
That's probably what we're worried about. Not any specific thing.
Yeah.
Just the latest hype.
Cycles.
We're scared for the latest hype.
And who knows what will come this time around. It probably won't be NFTs, because I think the trust is broken there.
Yeah.
But you guys spoke about the fundamentals behind it, which make it value in particular ways.
Correct.
But not the way that it was being sold.
Which is the likes of Oculus and LimeWire. They're all based on NFT technology. So yeah, we do like NFT technology, but it's like pictures, digital art.
And it was
art.
Like screenshots of tweets.
That's right, Jack Dorsey sold his first tweet.
I couldn't understand.
That's right.
For millions.
Yeah. Remember, there was another reason behind it. It was money laundering. It's money laundering, tax harvesting. So
big players were doing money laundering through that. And then the normies were coming into the market and thinking, wow, this goes up in value. I'll buy a picture for a lot of money and make more. So it's like people were out there doing it with an ulterior motive. It's like they're doing that for that. But then people were seeing crazy numbers and just chasing numbers. That's a big thing. People just chase numbers, chase hype, chase pumps. Just be careful of chasing.
So when that comes around this time around, be more vigilant than people were with the kind of sneakier side of NFTs.
Yeah, and we'll be saying that to members at that time. Whatever the ludicrous hype is, we'll just say as it is. And we always say to members as well, look, we think this is a load of nonsense. We think this is extremely risky. But like, if you want to research it and you like it yourself, like, we're not saying don't do this or don't do that. We're just giving you our opinion on something that's nonsense. If you want to go out there and do it, that's, it's
on you.
We're all our own boss, so...
I agree. And speaking of being your own boss, you guys have had the freedom to come out here to Dubai. We've managed to get into the studio together. Why does crypto always go up every time you guys come to Dubai?
We control the market, we told you this.
We do.
People speculate about that. Like,
it's the big dogs that control the market.
Conspiracy theory unlocked.
Yeah, we control the market. No, it's just good timing, I guess. Quarter four is a powerful time.
Because Bitcoin broke... When we were in Dubai in 2020, that's when it broke into its all-time high. And again, it was roughly similar timing. So crypto is very cycle-based and to the day, which is insane. It's like to the day, the way it moves in cycles, and whatever happened 3 years ago happened on the same day the next time. I don't know. It's just...
It's literally just as it's good timing, of course.
And it's a great time of year to come to Dubai as well.
It is.
Yeah, we love Dubai so much. Like, yeah.
How do you guys feel about this place? Because it is a draw for so many people. Again, I don't want to put my political hat on, but Scotland in particular has got some new tax changes coming under some SNP plans, which mean that between 42k and 50k, you're going to get taxed a considerable percentage more than even if you were in England, and between £75,000 and £100,000, you're going to also get taxed a higher percentage as you would down south. And while people can argue the ifs and buts of what you get more in Scotland, free prescriptions, free university, etc., it's still
laughable. How can you say that's a positive, like, a selling point, but you get a free prescription? It's like, it's £7, I'll pay for it.
You need to wait 2 weeks for that appointment, though.
It's bonkers. So I, as somebody that's increased my financial income through my corporate career and through the different side projects that I've run, corporate call, there we go. I'm being hammered for living geographically where I want it. And I love Scotland, I love the UK. I'm proudly British, I'm proudly Scottish.
You get punished for doing well in the UK. The better you do for yourself, for your family, for your country, you get punished more, which is insanity. But as Don said about Swissborg, it's like, build it and they'll come. That's what Dubai's doing. It's like, we're just going to do everything right. We're going to give all the best stuff, do everything right, run it the way it should be run, and everybody will come. And that's what's happened.
Literally.
If the UK is doing all of these things wrong, the Dubai is doing all of these things right, people is going to move there. People is going to go wherever it's better. That's why people use crypto, because it's faster, cheaper, easier. People go wherever something makes more sense or where it's...
I've had some really cool conversations while I've been out there, and this morning... I was with Adam Power. That episode will come out in January. He moved from Ireland, and he was saying, you pay this really high tax, the roads are crap, the streets aren't clean,
the
streets aren't safe as much anymore either. The UK is the same. You come to Dubai, you pay no tax if you're just an employee or whatever. If with a corporation, you pay some depending on how much
I think
your
it's only like
is.
5% no,
exactly,
as well.
Depending on how much you, and as you scale up, and the streets are clean, there's no crime. Well, no crime that would affect somebody who's staying within the boundaries of it. Like, the place is immaculate. The roads are clean. They're a bit mad, but they're well kept. There's no potholes. How different is that?
You can also order cars and pay in crypto within 15 minutes.
That was insane.
The car we came in today, we literally WhatsApped.
Right?
Within 15 minutes, we had picked the car, it was getting dropped off, and we'd paid in crypto, and it was outside
service
of our door.
Service is unbelievable as well.
Yeah.
The service is good, the people's good. I can't really find a negative. Oh, there's one negative about Dubai.
It's too warm.
It's too hot in summer.
In summer.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that...
But then that's when you spend that 3 months or whatever it is in the UK, if need be, and you spread, or you go to Spain where it's a bit cooler, or you go travel. And I guess that's what a lot of the big guys out here that do. We've got a lot of friends in the crypto space that now or are planning to move out or have already moved out. And over the summer months, they'll go back home or they'll go to a different country where it's a bit cooler, still warm. But I guess that's the
push
plan
as well for people listening to a self-development podcast like this one to create yourself financial relative freedom. I really hope the UK can be saved and improved, but there's a large element
it's gone. It's a failed society.
I don't think it can. I don't think any the kind of Western countries can be saved. But it's just, it cycles. Everything in the universe moves in cycles, and it's just places are good. They fall. It's like
the UK
empires
was,
fall.
Yeah, the UK was the British Empire for a reason.
Nothing goes up forever, nothing goes down forever. So yeah. It's like there's cycles in everything. The UK has had its time in the sun. Well, not in the sun.
Yeah, but no,
it's
not
had
the
its
sun.
It's had its time of being a better place to go, yeah.
Time in the snow.
Yeah, time in the overcast. That way. Dubai is a draw for you guys for the longer
100%.
Term?
100%. Obviously, personal circumstances aren't as straightforward sometimes for ourselves anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to, for privacy reasons, get into that.
Course.
But family-wise...
Inevitable that... This is the motherland.
It is, and it's for all those kind of positive reasons, but also as well for us specifically, and even yourself. It's like everyone's here. Everyone's here for crypto. All the self development guys are here. All the gym guys are here. This is the place.
It's a great hub.
It's well, everyone congregates.
The interviews I've got to have in the last week or so, and that's really hard for me to do in Scotland.
Exactly.
We're meeting up with actually one of our good friends, Alex from Swissborg. Over the next couple of days, and that will be, it's a kind of crypto event, and it's a very private crypto event. So again, we're getting to network.
Yacht party.
Yeah, I was trying to kind of play it down. We're going to a private meeting on a yacht. So we're going to a yacht party, and it's a private event for crypto.
Do they do yacht parties in Glasgow?
I'm not sure. I don't, you can go in the, up and down the Clyde, can't you?
There's a boat, but I don't know if it gets used as much. But
the
yes,
tall the tall ship.
Yeah, there we
it's
go.
Not far from Glasgow.
For us, it's super important because
hold on, we love Glasgow. We're so sorry to say
we do. Of course,
that's 100%.
It's sad, and it's an easy fix. That's why I think we said this in 2020. We should be in
power.
We should be run, and
the only issue is that
get shit done.
They wouldn't let you guys.
To come back on that, but it's like weather.
We need to join the WEF first, then get in.
Weather is such a big deal though, so we can't really control the weather.
But
maybe we could.
You can put up with the weather.
Chemtrails.
Like, exactly. Maybe we could. It's the people as well, so it's a bit of a mix. But again, the people are controlled by the higher power that is. So if me and Deck were in charge, the people would change. I could probably pull some strings with the weather, like I do with the crypto market.
Yeah,
I know a guy. But no, in all seriousness, like you said, we love Glasgow. I hate actually nowadays the city of Glasgow, like the city centre now, because it is just, it's just not as good. I used to live in Glasgow, work in Glasgow, and I loved it. That was where I spent so much of my time. But now I live further out. When I have to come into the town or the city centre, I'm just thinking...
Everything, like they've been... doing roadworks on the M8 for like 3 years.
That's
and
right.
They've closed like half of the M8 for 3 years. That would never happen in Dubai.
No.
Or any decent country. That would never happen, but it happens back home. So everything's just... Everything's just...
It's excuses, it's moaning, it's just...
Yeah, it's just not a very well-run place. That's why, like the likes of Trump, when he took over the US just got so much better because he was just doing things the way it should be done. Like Dubai, they just do it the way it should be done. There's no agendas behind it. It's just a business-like mentality
Move
for a country,
forward, yeah.
Which is what Dubai do, just business-like mentality.
We actually learned last night, we're out with a good friend of ours, and his partner's a teacher out in Dubai, and he was saying that the schools are run, that particular school anyway, is run by the head teacher or whatever you call it is a business background. He's not a teaching
background.
Nothing
with education, just a business owner.
The schools are run as businesses. They use a British curriculum, but with obviously a little kind of change here and there, whatever it may be, but it's run as a business, and that's why the international schools and just any
probably
schools.
Probably the changes they made to the curriculum are welcome based on some of the stuff that's
in the schools.
We don't need to go there, but completely agree.
But it's interesting because, again, as Dick mentioned, the previous president of the US run it as a business and look what happened. The schools in Dubai are known globally as some of the best schools in the world. Oh, that's funny because they're run as a business. The kids are still growing up and getting all the education, whatever it may be. They're still using a certain curriculum and whatever it may be. But the fact of the matter is that is a business and people need to recognize that. And
everything should technically be run as a business. Just hire the best people for the job, offer the best service.
Everything is a business when you break it down. Everything is a business. No matter what it is, it's a business fundamentally.
The skills part's really interesting because given both your family situations, yep, it's probably one of the biggest considerations for moving out here, because from a business perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But from a family perspective, it needs to tick those boxes for you to feel that you're...
Honestly, almost every box is ticked in Dubai, except it's too hot. It's like, how much of a complaint is that?
It's such a UK thing to say.
It's too hot. Everything, education, people... Maybe the infrastructure
is... was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe the infrastructure isn't the greatest. The roads are a bit...
Yeah.
We were speaking to a good friend yesterday, Matthew. He was saying that, like, the roads, over the past year, there's been a massive influx of people here.
It's
and
super,
the roads are just
super busy.
So busy.
Coming out of GBR where we were, coming out of the Palm is so wild.
We joked, though, is the car that we're in is... You wouldn't mind sitting in traffic, so it's not too bad. Yeah. But that was the kind of joke we made to try and make ourselves feel better. No, so we've got a Rolls Royce Cullinan. I know. We've got a Rolls Royce Cullinan we picked up. We made sure it was a blue interior.
Just for me.
Just for our man Cole. But yeah, so sitting in a Rolls Royce in that traffic, there could be worse places to sit. But that's a joke we'd made. It's like, do you know what? Bring on the traffic. Then after two hours, you're thinking, well, hang on a minute.
But would it surprise you if they just, not built magically, something, but rapidly improve the roads? Because
like a second
if
layer.
If enough people come, it's going to need to have the movement.
Apparently they're going to
be there.
Apparently they're trying to now, they can't really fix much more of the road situation.
They're going to build underground.
Or essentially you make it more pedestrianised in the sense of more trains and that type of, because they've got the tram, but it only runs like along that one road, but they're trying to do like a London style kind of setup.
Less hotels, less apartments and concentrate on the roads.
Yeah. It's mad because
that's how I would run it as a business.
Sheikh Zayed Road is what, 6 lanes, it's like 12 lanes wide. And it is packed. It's insane. It's just
only going to go one direction because of the other attractions that are bringing us all here.
Correct. But that's a good thing about Dubai as well, is everything's kind of half an hour away. Well, if you don't get any traffic, but in sense of, it's not all the one place. You've got downtown, which is like kind of hub. Then you've got GBR. You've got Marina, I guess, is the same kind of place. But then you've got the Palm. They've got the new Palm. You know, so they've spread it out enough where, yes, there's a bit of traffic, but when you're down there, you should be down there in that hub. So it makes sense to me. Works. But
yeah, one of the biggest things, and I want to just give encouragement to people listening to this, is when we come here, the environment's great to like motivate and stimulate you. Like we've been buzzing since we've been here.
It's insane.
The only other thing I'll say is that I did an episode with you guys both know Chris Burns, the Savage Scholar, and David Hatt. Glasgow's a small place, so we all know each other. The people that are trying to do good things. Yeah. We have a round table fairly regularly in the podcast, and we spoke about standing on the shoulders of giants. We are still really lucky to be able to tune into all this amazing online content to try and level ourselves up through the people that we get together with. And you guys actually obviously have your community, so you're able to connect with like-minded people without, at this moment in time, maybe having the resources to go physically to these places. You can still connect with amazing people to try and raise the game, to try and improve expectations, to try and move you on. Like, I'm listening to Jordan Peterson, I'm listening to whoever it is that's helping me moving forward. Somebody listening to this has just learned for an hour and a half, like, so much amazing free information that they could action and fiscally change their lives in the future. We are in a technology age that has a massive positive element to it, or you could just scroll TikTok and vape.
Both are decent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends what you're up to. Yeah. But I just, as a last little bit of encouragement, of course we're talking about the virtues of Dubai, but there's still an online world that we can all tap into that can help us move in that direction, that might enable us the freedom of choice in the future. Because you, Dex, like I say famously, really interestingly spoken about doing a delivery job, stacking that cash, listening and consuming hours of crypto and mindset content that put you in a position where now you have the financial and location freedom to potentially up sticks here.
On that point as well, it's something that me and Dick have spoken about and have done personally, and it's kind of helped get us to where we want to be, is see, even if you can't afford it as such, or there's ways of doing it, do it. Come to Dubai. Go to Vegas. We use Vegas quite a lot, and we're hiring the Lambos, and yes, it was silly money at the time. Yes, we could afford it. We're not that daft, but it was like, this is expensive. The reason we're doing that is we're giving ourselves a taste of that lifestyle that we wanted, that we know that we deserve. But it's like, right, cool, let's live it and just work for it. And we still continue to do that. Again, hiring a Rolls Royce Cullinan to go to the mall last night, because it's like...
There's reasons for it, for everything.
It's always stretching you. And it's just a pull in the right direction.
Yeah, it's to prove to... It helps our audience as well, because maybe they can't get with work, or they're busy, or they've got family ties, where we are kind of helping them view the world of Dubai or whatever it may be. But if you can, or if you can make it possible, make it possible. Because honestly, it will help you. Mindset, again, as we always talk about,
just
is so important.
You. Like, that's, as Don says, in Vegas when we got a car, that was in 2016. When we're both working our normal jobs before we get into crypto, we knew that we wanted freedom, money to travel, nice cars, we're car guys. So we went to Vegas 2016 and we hired...
An R8 and a Lambo Aventador.
Aventador. And that's just given us a taste. And when we're in it, like, yeah, this is it. Yep. We definitely want this lifestyle. We definitely want it. So when we knew that we definitely want that, then we can build towards it and just work towards it. What do we backdate from then? Right, we know we want this, and that's how we do it in crypto with profit taking. We know we want this. Right, what's the steps to get there?
I was just about to say that. It goes back to how we do the consultations. Our fundamental business is consultations, and it all comes off of what we just done. Set a goal. The goal was, we want this life of Lambos and luxury. How do we do it? We'll figure it out. Nowadays, we've got a bit more experience and we know what that figure it out section is, or whatever.
Much clearer, yeah, so, but the end destination was.
But it's honestly super, super important. It's something that I wanted to mention as well. I watched Russ on a podcast, and one of the kind of most inspiring kind of things that he'd heard is, what if it can work out better than you can imagine? And it's so powerful, and it sounds like such an easy thing to say, but it's so true. And that comes back to just doing it. If it's possible, make it possible. Because what if you go to Dubai and you meet someone like we did back in 2020? We met with super, super influential people and big people in the crypto market. We met with Frank Mueller. Like, it was insane, just because we made it possible. Again, what if it can work out better than you can imagine? We could never have imagined that.
Nah,
like,
that's so true.
Going
that's
for dinner.
What is the joke phrase that you two say to each other? Two dafties from Shettleston.
So not bad for a couple of idiots from Shettleston. We're not from Shettleston. Don't really know much about
just
that area.
Figure of speech.
I think we just said it randomly one time and we just kept it.
It helps you to
it's kind of remember your roots, and it's remember your roots. Like, we're not from this big fancy, which people maybe don't think. We're not from this big rich background and mum and dad's money, whatever. We're just hard workers, determined. Again, what if it works out better than you can imagine? It's super, super powerful. Like, we just made it work.
And it all starts with belief. That's a massive one. It's like, it all starts with belief. We knew what we wanted, and we knew that we're going to make money someday. We're going to make freedom someday. It's going to happen 100%. No matter what happens, it's going to happen. So it just needs to start with belief. Start with belief first. Plan your goals, plan what you want, and then just attack it. And if it takes a year or 10 years, it doesn't matter. It took us 10 years to finally push through and get there.
Another thing as well is, you'll lose people along the way.
Aye.
And I know that's just a kind of given, but you will lose so many friendships, relationships, best friends, business partners, whatever it may be. You will lose those people. And there's reasons for that, not to get totally all up in this mindset hype, but just that's normal. Me and Dick have a very, very close, tight-knit circle, which is great. It works for us. We don't need friends out doing this, that, next thing. Yeah,
don't need that.
The people we connect with are people that can help us get to our end goal, whatever that may be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, in my opinion anyway, because it's like, there's reasons for us doing that. Again, the family thing to bring that up. There's background reasons for us, but we also want to live that life as well, because it's something that we strive for. People talk about it. We can make that possible if we try it and do it, and that's what it's all about. Just give it a go.
Gents, I love it. A fired up, inspiring end to this podcast. Round 5, we've smashed it.
Yes.
If people want to continue the conversation with you, where should they head towards?
Best place, of course, is our Discord community. So you'll get that from our Instagram, though. So @crypto.glasgow is probably the best. It's like our hub, almost. We're big on YouTube. Certified Crypto is our kind of online persona, if you say. But yeah, check out Instagram @crypto.glasgow. You'll find a link in our bio for everything that we do. If you want to connect, talk, get help, book a consultation, come to one of our courses, everything you need, link in the bio.
Beautiful, guys. I've loved this. Thank you to the listener as well. I'll be back to speak to you all again very, very soon.